And y'all will have to bear with me. I've had some, I don't know if it's a change of weather or what, but I'm having some sinus issue stuff. So just bear with me. If I sound like I'm talking out of my nose, it's because I am. Pull this up too. And if, while I do this, if you wouldn't mind turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, we're going to continue with our study this evening through the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25. We're going to begin reading in verse 19. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. As we listen, let's listen, because we believe as Baptists that as we are reading these words, that this is Christ himself speaking to us. So, as I read the words of Christ, everyone pay attention. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 and following. These are the family records of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took as his wife Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, and Padan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. But the children inside her struggled with each other, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When her time came to give birth, there were indeed twins in her womb. The first one came out red-looking, covered with hair like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, grasping Esau's heel in his hand, with his hand. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. When the boys grew up, Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman. But Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home. Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Jacob came in from the field exhausted. He said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff because I'm exhausted." That is why he also is called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look," said Esau, "I'm about to die. So what good is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to Jacob, sold his birthright to him. Then Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate, drank, got up, and went out. So Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we do praise you, Father, for your greatness. And Lord, I just pray right now that in my inadequacy, as a speaker, Father, you would overcome my words with your words so that your people can hear you speak to them just as you've revealed yourself to generations before. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A life defined by one action. And every time I kept thinking through, well, who can I talk about? Who can I come up with an opening illustration about someone whose life is defined by one action? And all these things, between politicians, because it's political season, there are tons of politicians who've had all these political careers ruined by things they've done in the heat of the moment, or things they didn't do in the heat of the moment. But being that I love college football, there's one in particular, and sports in general, there's one in particular person that I kept thinking about. Joe Paterno. Everybody knows Joe Paterno. Probably the most popular football coach and one of the most famous football coaches of our time. Hands down. However, even though he was great, and he even had a statue that they built at the stadium there. And it wasn't necessarily it was anything that he did, but it was something that he didn't do. He had the opportunity to come out and talk about the scandal that was going on with one of the other assistant coaches there, and he lacked to do that. He just did not show the leadership that he should have. He should have come out, but he didn't. He kind of turned his cheek to it and kind of looked the other direction. And because of that time of indecision, it has greatly influenced what other people's believe. They have since torn down that statue. It's no longer there. And now his entire legacy is tainted. And we think about this. There's also tons of other athletes out there. Lance Armstrong, the most recent one. You know, 7 Tour de France victories. All of them stripped away now that it's come to light. You think about Barry Bonds. All that huge home run season that he had. We all kind of suspected it, but when it finally came to light, it definitely put an asterisk beside his record. All these things come about because there is one momentary decision that someone makes, and they decide to go for the things of the flesh, things of this world, and it completely can define your life, one action. So as we've studied through the book of Genesis, we've seen several different things begin to happen and begin to unfold. One, we started in Genesis chapter 1, we see Adam and Eve, or Genesis chapter 2. We see Adam and Eve, they're created. We see them flourish for a short period of time. Then they fail miserably in their sin, and they're cursed. And God makes a promise to them. Genesis 3:15, he makes the promise to them that he will, through Eve's seed, bring the Messiah. Again, as we've studied, we've seen even the covenant that was brought to Abraham. And so Abraham even said to him, or God said to Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, my covenant is with you. You will become the father of many nations. I will make you fruitful and will make the nations and will make nations and kings come from you. I will keep my covenant between me and you and your offspring throughout their generations. Throughout the generations, I will be your God and the God of your offspring. So Abraham would have been teaching that very same thing to Isaac. He would have been telling his son about those things. Likewise, Isaac would have been teaching his sons, Jacob and Esau, about those things. He would have been telling them that God has made a covenant. He has made a promise to me, and through this, through my heir, through you, sons, through you, Jacob, through you, Esau, but mostly you, Esau, because you are my firstborn son. God will bring about this Messiah. He will make me the father of many nations. He will make my name great among the nations. And being that Esau was the firstborn, like I mentioned, he probably had an assumption that it was in him, that it was in his line, that he would, that God would fulfill his promise through him and not his brother Jacob. However, in a moment of weakness, he forgot, he's careless. There's a number of things that you can characterize Esau. But the main thing that I want you to see is that he gave into his desires and sold his birthright. He gave into his desires and sold his birthright. So, what do we find here? And particularly as we go along, we'll see that Esau destroyed his life with a desire for craving the things of this world. Esau destroyed his life by his desire for craving the things of this world. You know, I kept thinking, there may be some of you here who have desires that are ruling over you. Oftentimes, for me and my wife, one problem that we have is Will we ever be financially comfortable? I'm not asking, God, that you place me in a big house, that you do these things. But one day, can I not stress about buying clothes for my son, or letting my wife go get her hair cut, or not worrying about the crown that my wife has to get on one of her teeth on a tooth of hers, because it's something we've been neglecting for several years. God, I'm not asking. I'm just asking for me to be comfortable. There may be some of you here who maybe a doctor's telling you, but hey, look, because of your health, you really need to eat right. You need to exercise. However, in a moment of weakness, in a moment of giving in to yourself, you get that extra serving. You get that piece of pie at lunch when you know you probably shouldn't. There may be some of you in here that have a desire to make your name great. And particularly the younger gentleman in here, that's a problem for us, especially coming through seminary. We see all these people and we put them on pedestals and we say, God, when are you going to give us these things? And that's my desire. I want to become the next great preacher, the next great professor, the next big author. I want to have all these things. I want to have this high-profile job. However, there are some desires that grow deeper and more wicked. Maybe there's a desire for another woman that we're around. Maybe somebody we work with. Even though there's a wife and children at home waiting on us, maybe the desire growing within us to start looking at things we shouldn't on the internet. Fill in the blank here. It could be a number of things. Everyone has these fleshly desires within themselves that are not of Christ. So whatever it may be, our desires, and if they are not for the Lord, then we will fall into these sinful and evil desires. For Esau, it was this red stuff. It was stew. It was just a whole bunch of ingredients. All kinds of things that he would have enjoyed. Just everything all piled in there. And he was hungry, and he felt like he was going to die. He's probably on a hunting trip. Probably didn't kill anything, and he's probably been out for a long period of time, and he probably really is hungry. He probably really is. He probably didn't go out and just skip lunch and come back. He wasn't that hungry. He was very hungry. Somebody who's not very hungry is not willing to give up their birthright. Birthright was something big. He had to have known that. And had to have known, because Isaac would have been teaching that the promise that God was going to give to Abraham and then to Isaac through his bloodline, Esau had to have known that he was in that line. He had to have known that. However, because his desires were not for God and his desires were for himself, his own fleshly desires, he chose to do something irrational. So, what does it matter? What does it matter that he did that? What does it matter that he gave up his birthright? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 27. In this whole several chapters, we see kind of the Jacob-Esau relationship happening. And all the conflict and all the things that are happening, occurring. We find here in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac is getting old and he's blind and he realizes he's about to die. And he calls for Esau. Because remember, in Genesis chapter 25, it just told us that because he had a taste for things of the wild, and because he had a taste for meat, he loved Esau. But Rebecca, because of the dream she had, or because of the revelation she had from God, said that the older will serve the younger. She had a love for Jacob. Well, Esau is called by Isaac, and Isaac tells him to go out and hunt, go find me a wild game, kill it, bring it in, cook it for me, so that I may bless you. And when we see this bless, it's not just I want a prayer. It's not just a prayer or blessing. Isaac realizes he's about to die. He's got servants. He's got a farm. He's got all these things, possessions, everything. And when they talk about blessing, he's talking about giving him. Look, Isaac. Isaac saying to Esau, "I'm going to give you everything I have, everything I own, all the possessions I have. I'm going to give to you." So, Rebekah, as Esau leaves, Rebekah was overhearing this conversation. And so she calls for Jacob and tells Jacob what's going on and that he should go out, get several young goats, bring them in, and I'm going to cook. Rebekah's saying, I'm going to cook him a meal. I know what I've been with this man my entire life. I know what he likes. I'm going to cook him something that I know he's going to like, and all of this so that he can bless you. And Jacob says, well, I'm not anything like Esau. I'm not hairy like Esau. So they go through this whole scheme of how we're going to trick Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing. And all this thing happens. And we're going to pick up in verse 30, and we're going to read on. And this says, after Jacob has brought Isaac the food and the wine, and Isaac has blessed Jacob, and this is when Esau comes in the picture. And we'll read from here. Genesis chapter 27, verses 30, following. As soon as Isaac was finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had left the presence of his father, Isaac, his brother Esau arrived from the hunt. He had also made some delicious food and brought it to his father. Then he said to his father, "Let my father get up and eat some of my son's game, so that you may bless me." But his father, Isaac, said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am Esau, your firstborn son." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. "Who was it then who said, 'Who hunted game and brought it to me?' I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed." Then Isaac heard his father's words, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, father." But he replied, "Your brother deceitfully, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." So he said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright. And look, now he has taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you saved any blessing for me?" But Isaac answered Esau, "Look, I have made him a master over you, have given him all of his relatives as his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my brother. My father." And Esau wept loudly. Then his father Isaac answered him, "Look, your dwelling place will be away from the riches of the land, away from the dew of the sky above. You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. And when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck." Later on, we see Esau gets very angry, and he has a plot that he's going to kill his brother. And Rebekah finds out about it and basically tells him to go. So, as we read this, we see that all in one moment of weakness in Esau's life, it was destroyed from that point on. Maybe not all at once, but through time, it was being destroyed. Don't let one moment of weakness define who you are for the rest of your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17 says, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defining many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irrelevant, that there isn't any immoral or irrelevant person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for one meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance, though he sought it with tears. Look, the reality is one moment of weakness, one thing you do in your life can literally unravel and destroy your life forever. It's never too late to make a bad decision. Until Christ returns, or we die, it's never too late to taint our legacy. Just ask Joe Paterno. He was about to retire. You know, it's never too late to destroy our legacy. So in contrast, let your life be defined as a life consumed by God's grace. And how do we do that? Through this blessing, we see God continue to bring through his lineage from Adam on to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and so on. As we read through the lineage, we see the line of Jesus Christ. And through the line of Christ, we can receive the grace of God. Christ has come and fulfilled what others could not. He conquered temptation that no one else could. And again, and I know I'm reading a lot of passages here, but all of this ties in. I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Luke chapter 4. We're going to read the first several verses. Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus returned from the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man must not live on bread alone. So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all this authority because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him, as it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we took him to Jerusalem. Then he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels over. He will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike. So that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, do not test the Lord your God. After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed. He departed for a time. Excuse me. Temptation that Adam and Eve could not overcome. And in this case, temptation that Esau could not overcome, Jesus Christ overcame. So the temptation that we've seen, and we've seen how, and you will continue to read, as you read through the redemptive history of the Bible, you will see man in his attempt to earn God's favor continually fail over and over and over and over again until we see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled all the things that man could not fulfill. He could not earn, we cannot earn God's favor through ourselves. For our desires are for the flesh apart from Christ. Apart from God's grace working within our lives, there's nothing within me, and there's nothing that is within you that desires to be a part of Christ. But because of his grace, because of what Christ did on the cross, we have hope. Because of what Christ did on the cross, we have hope. So, we too can gain the power over our desires of this world, over our desires for ourselves, and over our desires to fulfill ourselves by the things of this world. Colossians 3:2 says, to set your mind on things above and not on things of this world. So, here's the deal. My life, your life, the church's life, Vine Street Baptist Church's life, can be defined only by our desire for Jesus Christ. It should be. Our desire should be for Christ and for the desire to tell others about Christ. And what can we do for the kingdom of God? So what's it going to be? Desire for ourself? The desire for our flesh? Or is it going to be for the desires of Christ? The desire to be of Christ and in Christ. Because in Christ alone, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. So if our desires are not of Christ, and our desires are elsewhere, ultimately, we are en route to hell. And we are en route to be an enemy of God. And we are. Before Christ, we all are. We all are enemies of God. But because of Christ, we have grace. We have mercy. So, Vine Street, what's it going to be? Is it going to be the desires of our flesh, the desires of this world? Or are our desires going to be Christ? So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you, Lord, for your greatness. Father, we pray now that, Father, our desires would be for you. And our desires would be for Christ alone, that we may glorify you above all other things in this world. Help us to see that a love for you is all that we need. We don't need comforts. We don't need food. We don't need water. We don't need anything, God, but you. You are the life-sustaining gift. More so than water. And Lord, we just pray now that as we come together, again, Father, we pray that we would bless your name. Father, even in the meeting we're going to have, Father, I pray that as we come together, everything we do, everything we say, would be a desire to glorify your name among the nations. Among the city of Louisville, among the people and the houses that line Vine Street. Father, I pray that through this time together, that it would be fruitful and that your name would be served above, among all other names. And we ask this in Jesus' name.